Hello and welcome to the Decorum Talking newspaper for the week ending Saturday the 27th of September. This week Team 3 is bringing you the news. Janet is the team leader and your other readers are Alan, Samida and Brian. Your editor this week is Samida. Most of our news items are taken from the Hemel Hempstead, Berkhamsted and Tring Gazette and Express newspaper. All telephone numbers are on the local code of 01442 unless stated otherwise. The headlines for this week are: family release tribute to Mustafa as police confirm 15 people remain of interest a year on from the execution murder. The hidden Roman villa, a difficult decision, and the repair cafe relaunching. These and other stories follow. Here is the news.
Hello, this is Alan. Hertfordshire Constabulary has confirmed it is still monitoring the movements of 15 people in connection with an execution killing committed in King's Langley. On the anniversary of Mustafa Jatta's murder in King's Langley, Hertfordshire Constabulary has confirmed 15 people remain of interest to its investigation. On September 17, 2024, Mustafa was gunned down by unknown assailants in what Hertfordshire Constabulary has described as an execution-style killing. At around 12:33 a.m., he was shot in Railway Terrace, King's Langley, and died as a result of his wounds. To mark the anniversary of her son's death, Mustafa's mother said, "From the moment he was born, Mustafa brought me so much joy. His brother, children, and I are paying tribute to Mustafa, who was born with a great heart and sense of humour. He loved his family and his children dearly. He was a wonderful son, brother, and father to his children, and would help anyone in need. We miss him so terribly. Rest in peace, dear. We love you." Hertfordshire Constabulary has revealed this week that its detectives arrested 19 people in connection with its active investigation, and 15 of them remain of interest. Detectives believe Mustafa's murder had been planned and remain keen to hear from anyone who might have any information about a red and black Ford Fiesta which was seen in Furtherfield, Abbots Langley, in September before the murder. This is the same location where a white Volkswagen Golf was later found burnt out following the murder. Detective Inspector Adam Bridges from the Bedfordshire, Cambridgeshire and Hertfordshire Major Crime Unit said, "We've been making significant progress over the last few months, and this can be seen through the recent arrests made over the summer. Mustafa's family remain in our thoughts, and we will continue our efforts to find his killer or killers and anyone else involved who played a part. There is still time to do the right thing and come forward if you have information. If you don't feel comfortable speaking directly to police, you can stay completely anonymous by contacting Crime Stoppers. Information can be reported to the police force online, via its web service, or by calling 101, quoting Operation Tempo. Witnesses can also contact the independent charity Crime Stoppers anonymously online or by calling 0800 555 111.
Hello, this is Samida. Hemel's hidden Roman villa in Gadebridge Park complete with the second largest Roman swimming pool and baths in Britain, came to life last weekend as hundreds flocked to see its footprint mapped out on the site where it was built almost 2,000 years ago. As part of the National Heritage Open Days Festival, members of the Hempstead History Society set out to recreate the villa footprint so people could visualize the rich history that lies beneath their feet. There's currently no indication that a vast Roman villa, bathhouse, and swimming pool sits just a few feet below the ground when people walk their dogs, stroll across the meadow, or drive past, said Mike Atkins, chair of the Hemel History Society. Using plans from the original excavations in the 1960s and with guidance from expert archaeologist Dr. David Neal, volunteers mapped out the villa's various rooms and features. The site's scheduled monument status rightly safeguards the ruins, so digging to expose the villa wasn't an option, said Mr. Atkins. Renowned archaeologist and expert on Roman mosaics, Dr. David Neal, who led the 1960s excavations of the site, conducted tours showing people the many features of the villa. Volunteers from Decorum Heritage, the local museum store, displayed a model of the villa with artifacts from the excavation, including Dr. Neal's original notebook and trowel. The response from people has been amazing and exceeded our expectations, said Mike Atkins. Well over 200 people visited the site on the open day, and the images have been viewed by thousands online. It's such a shame Hemel doesn't have a museum where people can view the artifacts and learn more about Hemel's history. Plans are underway to mark the site with an information board, and the History Society is now planning an exhibition about the Romans in Hemel Hempstead with a talk by Dr. Neal. For more information about Hemel History Society, visit their Facebook pages, facebook.com/groups/Hemel History.
Hello, this is Brian. The difficult decision to close Open Door Berkhamsted has been announced by its trustees. The closure has been made in response to a variety of ongoing pressures, including financial constraints, location, volunteer capacity, and the evolving needs of the community, which have made continued operation unsustainable. Over the past months, the WICCT trustees have explored several avenues to keep Open Door running, including seeking additional funding and engaging with community partners. Despite these efforts, closure has become the most responsible course of action. A spokesman said, "The trustees wish to recognise the extraordinary contribution of our General Manager Amanda Cooper, along with all our volunteers, staff and supporters who have poured time, energy and compassion into making Open Door a vibrant, welcoming and inclusive space. Their dedication has had a profound impact in the local community, fostering connection, dignity and hope. To ensure a minimum disruption, existing bookings will be honoured and Monday Crochet and Friday Memory Cafe will continue until the end of November 2025. Community fridge and outdoor pantry will continue to operate while new hosts are found. A directory of alternative service providers is being compiled to maintain access to vital support services. The Way In will continue to operate and will benefit from renewed attention and support from the trustees who say they are committed to ensuring that the values and spirit of Open Door live on throughout ongoing community initiatives. We are deeply grateful for the love and service that have sustained Open Door over the years. Though this chapter is closing, our commitment to community care continues," the trustees of WICCT concluded. For further information or to offer support during this transition, please contact the trustees at info@opendoorberkhamsted.co.uk.
Berkhamsted's popular Repair Cafe is relaunching at a new venue next month, allowing it to extend the valuable service it offers to the local area. Berko Repair Cafe, established in 2021 at Open Door Community Space, enables local residents to bring their broken belongings to be fixed free of charge. From the 4th of October, the Repair Cafe will be based at North Church Social Centre, just off the High Street in North Church. The team of skilled volunteers will offer their expertise to fix everything from electrical appliances and clothing to bikes, toys and tools. Running on the first Saturday of the month from 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m, customers can enjoy drinks and refreshments while they wait for their items to be fixed, but are also encouraged to get involved and learn repair skills for themselves. Richard Frankel, one of the founders of the Berko Repair Cafe, said, "We've seen a real demand for our services since we launched. Lots of local people are keen to do their bit to help tackle climate change and save money, getting their things repaired instead of seeing them going to landfill. We're really excited about the move to North Church Social Centre, as it means we have more space to extend our service, plus parking makes it easier for people to bring a wider range of items and larger items for repair. Customers are invited to give a donation towards their repair to help cover costs of the initiative and support a range of local charities. If something cannot be fixed, the Repair Cafe team can advise on how to recycle or dispose of it properly." Jane Kendall, one of the repairers, said, "When I heard that a repair cafe was being set up in Berkhamsted, I was delighted to be included in the amazingly talented team of volunteers, woodworkers, sewing team, engineers, jewellery workers and electrical experts. The Saturday mornings are a real joy, never knowing who or what is going to arrive as we open the doors. The buzz of people and children and the stories behind many of the items contribute to the endless satisfaction of rescuing and repairing things." The Repair Cafe has made over 1,000 repairs to date and runs in partnership with Eco Berko in North Church Social Centre, as well as being an international network of repair cafes that aims to reduce landfill waste, save resources and promote a circular economy. Councillor Caroline Smith-Wright, Dacorum Borough Council portfolio holder for climate and ecological emergencies, said, "The Berkhamsted Repair Cafe is a brilliant example of community action tackling the climate and ecological emergency. By extending the life of everyday items, we cut down on waste, save resources and reduce carbon emissions, all the while bringing people together to share these skills and knowledge. It is these kinds of local initiatives that make a real difference for our planet, while also bringing volunteers and communities together. I am so thrilled to support the Repair Cafe here in Berkhamsted, and a huge thank you to the skilled residents whose clever hands and kind hearts give broken things a second life." Frankel concludes, "Whether you're handy with a spanner or have a background in electronics and interest in woodwork, you might be able to help serving cake or welcoming customers, don't hesitate to get in contact and find out how you can get involved. Residents are invited to the Repair Cafe at North Church Social Centre between 9:30 and 12:30 on Saturday, 4th of October, and every first Saturday of the month thereafter. No need to book, just drop in. Visit ecoberko.uk/repair-cafe for more information and to learn about how it works on the day.
This week in history. September 27th, 1660, Bank Underground Station in London opened the first travelator, or moving pavement, in Europe. September 28th, 1878, Pope John Paul I died after only 33 days as pontiff. On this day last year, the daughter of Philip Schofield hoped that her father taking part in the Channel 5 show would allow him to be forgiven for his mistake of having an affair with a young male. Schofield resigned from ITV in May 2023 as he admitted lying to his employers and colleagues over the unwise but not illegal relationship and had not presented any programme since then. September 29th, 1983, A Chorus Line broke the record as the longest running Broadway show with its 3,389th performance since July 1975. September 30th, 1967, BBC's Radio 1 went on air for the first time with Tony Blackburn introducing The Breakfast Show. His first record was Flowers in the Rain by The Move. October 1st, 1969, Concorde 001 broke the sound barrier for the first time during a test flight in France. On this day last year, Buckingham Palace announced that Princess Beatrice was pregnant with her second child.
Dacorum Borough Council has celebrated the progress being made on a housing development containing 56 homes in Hemel Hempstead. These social rent homes are under construction at the Paradise Industrial Estate, and a new headquarters for homelessness charity, DENS, is also being built at the site. Dacorum Borough Council has confirmed that construction is taking place on a brownfield site and that the borough's food bank and a community cafe will also be built within the new neighbourhood near to Hemel Hempstead Town Centre. Currently, the project is expected to be finished early in 2027. It is anticipated that the charity's headquarters and other community properties could be complete by September 2026. Dacorum Mayor, Councillor Catherine McEvery, other authority officials and Bugler Developments representatives recently checked how work was progressing at the site. Homes being built in the area will be a mix of one- and two-bedroom apartments. Homes England has provided £7 million in funding for the development. Councillor Simi Dhiani said, "It's fantastic to see how the development has come since work began earlier this year. I know how many local people are struggling to find a secure, affordable home, and that's why this development matters so much. These 56 new social rented homes will give families the stability they deserve, close to schools, shops, and transport. This project is more than housing. The new headquarters of Fodens will bring their food bank and services under one roof, and the community cafe will offer real work experience for local people. It's going to be a place that not only supports those in need, but also brings people together. As a councillor, but also as a member of this community, I feel proud that we are creating something that will make such a difference to people's lives here in Hemel. This is about giving people hope, opportunity, and a better future. Air source heat pumps and electrical vehicle charging points will be created as part of the overall scheme." Wendy Lewington, CEO of DENS, said, "We're delighted to celebrate this major milestone in the development of our new DENS Centre, a welcoming hub for those in our community facing homelessness, poverty, and social exclusion."
Tring Park School for the Performing Arts is delighted to unveil its open day dates this autumn, offering young performers nationwide the chance to discover what life is like at one of the UK's leading vocational schools. Key dates: October 1st morning, Tring Park Prep, year 3 to 6, October 9th to 10th morning, year 7 to 10, Dance and Performance Foundation, October 9th to 10th afternoon, sixth form, all vocational courses, musical theatre, dance, commercial music, acting, technical theatre. October 16th morning, Tring Park Prep, year 3 to 6. Visitors will be welcomed with a guided tour, a talk from Principal Simon Larter Evans, and plenty of opportunities to meet staff and students. Lower and middle school guests will be treated to a live showcase from pupils on the Dance and Performing Foundation course. Sixth form attendees will enjoy performances across all vocational disciplines: musical theatre, acting, dance, and commercial music. Tring Park welcomes day and boarding students aged 7 to 19 years, offering intimate class sizes led by expert teaching staff and passionate industry professionals, with an emphasis on excellence in both academics and performance. The school ensures every student has space to reach their full potential. Already, one in four students at the school have gained professional experience, contributing to the UK's vibrant entertainment industry. Alumni span West End stages, TV series, and global cinemas, including Hollywood stars Lily James and Daisy Ridley, chart-topping singer Ella Henderson, and West End talent Joe Griffiths Brown, currently starring in Les Miserables. To find out more and reserve your place, visit tringpark.com/events-shows.
This report is from the Bovingdon Horticultural Society, whose autumn show was held on the 13th of September in the Memorial Hall in Bovingdon. After last year's awful summer, we had a scorching summer this year, leading to the premature ripening of vegetables and flowers. The gardener's lot is so much akin to that of our farmers. Nevertheless, we had a super show. In total, we had 54 exhibitors, of whom 34 were young people with ages ranging from 2 years old to 12 years of age. Together, they contributed 263 exhibits. It's always nice to welcome new exhibitors, and this year Jackie Willett made her debut with such success that she won the Bovingdon Horticultural Society Bowl. Mike Leon retained the Ernest Wright Cup, having gained the most points in the vegetable and fruit sections. To cap this, he also won the Victory Hall Cup for his collection of vegetables. Albert Braithwaite returned this year and re-established his dominance in the dahlia section, winning the Dahlia Cup. Dave Billington retained the All-Day Roofing Cup for his fuchsias and also won the Eva Stone Cup for his homemade drinks. Megan Billington kept it in the family by winning the Copps Hill Challenge Cup for her preserves and cookery. Gillian Johansson won the coveted Horwood Bakery Cup for her ginger cake. During the autumn show, we also present the winners of the Bovingdon Hanging Basket Competition, which beautify our high street all summer long. First prize was won by The Villager, second prize by the Barbers of Bovingdon, with third prize taken by the library. Our annual social evening will be held in the Memorial Hall on the 14th of November, when we will be entertained by a magician.
As National Inclusion Week, September 15th to 21st, switches its focus to its 2025 theme, Now is the Time, which emphasises the importance of inclusion, urgency, resilience, and the need to push forward within organisations. Abbots Care, Hertfordshire County Council's lead provider of home care service, is proud to share the story of Rosie, a 22-year-old from Hemel Hempstead whose journey is a powerful example of courage, community, and independence. Rosie had bacterial meningitis at 22 months of age, and as a result has intractable epilepsy, hearing loss, and a learning disability. With the dedicated support of her family and a team of compassionate care workers from Abbott's Care, Rosie is thriving. She lives in a self-contained section of her family home, complete with her own kitchen and bathroom, allowing her to build independence while remaining close to her loved ones. Rosie receives 24/7 care, and one of her long-time support workers, Maggie, says the transformation over the past 4 years has been incredible. Rosie has truly come out of her shell. She used to be quiet and hesitant, but now she's confident, full of energy, and eager to get involved. Her clubs and activities have played a huge part in that. Rosie is actively involved in Sunnyside, a community programme that helps individuals with additional needs develop rural and retail skills, from beekeeping and gardening to selling produce in local markets. She also takes part in Electric Umbrella, a music and theatre group known for their uplifting performances and their recent appearances in Britain's Got Talent semi-finals, where they earned the golden buzzer from Simon Cowell. This summer, Rosie was part of a team that took part in the Superhero Triathlon, raising an incredible £552 for the Spinal Injuries Association. She tackled the running and cycling stages alongside her mum and her Abbott's Care support worker, Maggie. "We're so proud of Rosie," said Camille Levoid, CEO of Abbott's Care. "National Inclusion Week is about recognising resilience in every person, and Rosie embodies that spirit every day. Her independence, her joy, and her determination inspire everyone around her." As a family-founded care provider based in Hertfordshire, which this year celebrates its 30th anniversary, Abbott's Care is honoured to support people like Rosie and advocate for a world where inclusion in all walks of life is a focus for organisations across the UK. With the need for care growing rapidly due to an ageing population and increasing numbers of adults with complex needs, Abbott's Care continues to expand, most recently recruiting 45 additional care workers to deliver an estimated 1,400 extra hours of support each week. Camille has recently been awarded a Member of the Order of the British Empire, the MBE, in the King's Birthday Honours List, in recognition of her outstanding contribution to home care over the past 3 decades. Camille also serves as a non-executive board member of the Home Care Association.
It's the last chance to apply to premium house builder Redrow Eastern's Community Fund, with applications closing on Tuesday, September the 30th. With up to 12,000 available to help support community initiatives led by groups, schools, organisations and individuals across Essex, Hertfordshire and Suffolk, applicants must get their entries in as soon as possible. The aim of Red Row Eastern's Community Fund is to help local groups at the heart of the community to have the equipment and tools they need to benefit their community and improve their local areas. The house builder, which is currently building energy-efficient homes in popular locations throughout Essex, Hertfordshire and Suffolk, wants to help those who need support with an array of projects, from new books for school children to new kits for a sports team or even craft supplies for a youth group. This is the second year that the house builder has opened the fund, with previous funding in the region supporting education and schools such as Chapel Hill Primary School and Witham Boys and Girls Brigade Association, as well as football clubs and village halls. Jodie Bryant, sales director at Red Row Eastern, comments, "As the deadline to apply for our 2025 Community Fund approaches, we urge groups, organisations or individuals within Essex, Hertfordshire and Suffolk looking to make a difference in their local area to get their entries in as soon as possible. At Red Row, we are committed to supporting local infrastructure and creating thriving communities. Last year, we were able to support more than 8 local community groups and organisations in enhancing the local area, and we are so excited to be able to build on this commitment in 2025. The Community Fund will close at midnight on September the 30th, so apply soon to avoid disappointment. To find out more about the £12,000 fund and how to apply, visit redrow.co.uk/eastern-community-fund.
Wraparound childcare, allowing parents to drop their children off at 8 a.m. and collect them at 6 p.m, has been successfully introduced in Hertfordshire, with most primary schools offering the support, a meeting heard. A meeting of the County Council's Education, SEND, Special Education Needs and Disabilities, and Inclusion Committee was held on Thursday, where councillors discussed the implementation of wraparound childcare. Wraparound childcare was announced by the previous Tory government in spring 2023 as a means of removing significant barriers for parents to return to work by offering more accessible childcare. The scheme is fully funded by the Department of Education, DfE, which set aside £289 million nationally for the project and has created 10,728 childcare places in Hertfordshire from a combination of school-based provision, cluster model with multiple schools using one site, and childminders with an additional 517 places expected to become available this month. Of the county's 406 mainstream primary schools, 352 now have wraparound childcare that meets the DfE's expectations. Of the remaining schools, 39 have wraparound provisions that meets the needs of their families but does not meet the DfE definition, while 5 primary schools without sufficient demand have no wraparound childcare at all. Reflecting on the figures, Councillor Paula Hiscox asked, "We have got 352 schools providing wraparound. Is that in line with our targets and what is expected by government? Do they expect every school to actually have this?" Strategy Manager Pablo Benevenuto said, "Obviously the schools are Ofsted registered. They deliver a variety of activities throughout the day and not all provision starts at 8 and finishes at 6. Some providers have a staggered finish to their day, and some in the county are not delivering until 6 p.m. because that's not what the need is in that school. So it's varied across the county. Equally so, it's varied in the provision itself. There's not a one-size-fits-all, and it certainly isn't a continuation of the school day. In terms of, are we expecting every school to have it? Of course, the DfE would wish that every school had an 8 a.m. until 6 p.m. model, but they are fully aware that not all schools need to have that demand. Hence, why over the course of this programme they have brought in different models. Ultimately, it's about what meets the demand in that area. The report, which Mr. Benvenuto co-wrote with Melody Knowles, head of early years, stated, "A survey went out across Hertfordshire to invite families to feedback. It had over 7,000 responses and will allow us to gather a picture of the demand to allow us to identify where the programme can be most effective to support." The survey also asked about children with SEND and will allow us to incorporate these findings into a plan to strive towards giving all families the same opportunity to access wraparound childcare. 91% of SEND families who completed the survey stated they would use wraparound for their children. Reasons it is not currently utilised by some families include a lack of confidence in current provision, no sufficient SEND provision, and parents feeling their child would struggle. We'll work with a training provider to provide inclusive training for staff offering wraparound provision. There will be ongoing support through the wraparound childcare team to support with applications, questions, and general support needs.
Arriva workers across five depots have called off their walkout after accepting a new pay deal. Staff had planned to strike in September and October, but Unite members will have their pay increased by up to 5.8%, dependent on their role. More than 800 bus drivers, engineers, cleaners and shunters across five Arriva depots had planned to walk out, but following the new pay deal, the strikes are off. The walkout was due to affect Arriva the Shires at Milton Keynes depot, as well as its site in Luton, plus Arriva Kent Thameside, Hemel Hempstead depot, as well as its sites in Stevenage and Ware. Unite General Secretary Sharon Graham said, "This shows the strength of workers and the power of the union movement. Unite is the winning trade union and it is putting more money into the pockets of our members." Unite Regional Officer Jeff Hodge added, "Our members were prepared to take strike action in their fight for better pay, and their determination has seen them win a new and improved pay deal. They should be congratulated for standing together and getting a well-earned pay reward."
Get ready for some spooky family fun as the Hemel Hempstead Old Town Halloween Party returns this year. The ghastly event will run on Sunday, October 26th, from 3 until 7 p.m, followed by a firework display at 7:30 p.m. in Gaybridge Park. Decorum Borough Council will be your trusted hosts in partnership with Hemel Old Town Market and Community Action Decorum. The party will be brimming with free entertainment in the Old Town High Street, including Harry Potter themed entertainers, face painting, lantern making, and fancy dress competitions for all ages. A variety of food market and community stalls will be available for guests to explore. Jungle Junior's Fantastic Beast sessions will be hosted throughout the afternoon at the Old Town Hall. Timings and ticket prices can be found on the Old Town Hall website. Councillor Caroline Smith-Wright, portfolio holder for People and Transformation, said, "Halloween is a tradition that brings people together through storytelling, creativity and community spirit, and our popular Old Town Halloween Party captures that beautifully. This year's exciting events features Harry Potter themed activities, a wide range of local stalls, lantern making and a fancy dress competition for people of all ages showcasing their creations. I'm delighted the celebration is back with a bang, ending with a spectacular firework display in Gatebridge Park, a fitting finale to one of our most loved community events. You can find the full event details on the Council's website.
On the first Monday of September, over 100 members and visitors gathered at North Church Social Centre for a special meeting to mark the 35th anniversary of the U3A decorum. Those attending enjoyed tea and coffee and a special cake to mark the occasion, followed by a very entertaining talk from John Tyler on the changing wildlife of the Chilterns, looking at the development of our landscape from before the Ice Age to the present day. Visitors were also treated to a stunning display of work from a number of the U3A groups, including magic, pattern work, folk singing, book reading, sewing bee, card making, bus trippers, railways, painting for pleasure, and rug making. The U3A is an organization for people who are no longer working full-time and offers a wide range of interest groups covering a variety of subjects and activities. Members enjoy making new friends with others who enjoy the same interests. U3A Decorum was started in 1990 and now has over 1,200 members, including three who joined in the first year and are still active in the organization. Members can attend free monthly speaker meetings as well as nearly 80 hobby and interest groups across Hemel Hempstead and Berkhamsted. The U3A currently has a display in a shop window inside the Marlow Shopping Centre, showing the wide range of skills and activities that they offer. The next monthly speaker meeting for U3A Decorum takes place on Monday the 6th of October at 10 a.m. at the Boxmoor Playhouse in Hemel Hempstead, when there will be refreshments followed by a talk on Super Sniffers, an introduction to medical detection dogs. The meeting is free and open to new members and visitors who want to find out more about U3A Decorum. For further information, see u3adecorum.org.
Now we come to the information slot, which includes the obituaries, what's on, and more news items. The obituary in the Gazette this week includes Hancherick, formerly Timku, nay Wright Doris, of Saturn Way, passed away peacefully at Watford General Hospital on Friday the 12th of September 2025, aged 90 years. May she rest in peace.
Now for what's on. In theatre, it's Fagin's Last Hour at the Old Town Hall, Hemel Hempstead, on October the 1st. Charles Dickens' dark tale of crime and punishment is stunningly reimagined in this multi-award-winning stage adaptation, told from the point of view of Fagin 1 hour before his execution. This unique and powerful one-man show offers a fresh insight into one of literature's most controversial villains. The show is presented by theatre company Brother Wolf, whose previous acclaimed productions have included Wolf, A Christmas Carol, as told by Jacob Marley, The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, Dracula's Guest, and The Mad Hatter's Tea Party. Call 01442 228091 for information and to book. And on the stage, an evening with Katie Price and Kerry Katona at the Eric Morecambe Centre in Harpenden on September the 30th. The two have been friends for more than 20 years and will share stories of marriage, divorce, bankruptcy, family, press attention and turning their lives around. Call 01582 767525 to book.
Films at the cinema this week include Brides, told with compassion and urgency. It's a gripping story of loyalty, lost innocence and the quiet desperation that drives radical choices. Dead of winter. A woman, travelling alone through snowbound Minnesota, interrupts the kidnapping of a teenage girl. Hours from the nearest town and with no phone service, she realises that she is the young girl's only hope. One battle after another, when their evil enemy resurfaces after 16 years, a group of ex-revolutionaries reunites to rescue one of their own daughters. The Stranger, Chapter 2. On their way to their honeymoon, a couple's vehicle breaks down, forcing them to take refuge in a remote Airbnb. As night falls, three masked strangers terrify them until dawn. Tobey Maguire Trilogy, Spider-Man, 2002. When bitten by a genetically modified spider, a nerdy, shy, and awkward high school student gains spider-like abilities that he eventually must use to fight evil as a superhero after tragedy befalls his family. Superman follows the titular superhero as he reconciles his heritage with his human upbringing. He is the embodiment of truth, justice, and the American way in a world that views this as old-fashioned. A big, bold, beautiful journey. A funny, fantastical, sweeping adventure. Downton Abbey, the grand final. The cinematic return of the global phenomenon follows the Crawley family and their staff as they enter the 1930s. The Roses, a reimagining of the 1989 classic film The War of the Roses, based on the novel by Warren Adler.
At this time of year, the male fallow deer is unpredictable and can travel several miles a day in search of a mate, crossing roads in the process. The most common times for the male deer to roam are at dawn and dusk, which in late September and October coincides with the morning and evening rush hours. Drivers and motorcyclists are particularly vulnerable to deer strikes, while cyclists should also be vigilant and take special care. The deer population in Hertfordshire, which mainly consists of fallow deer and muntjac deer, is widespread across the county with particular concentrations in pockets of woodland countryside. Although deer are present in residential areas, it is where major roads pass near wooded areas with traffic moving at high speeds that there is a particular risk of collisions with crossing animals. Councillor Stephen Giles Medhurst, Executive Member for Highways at Hertfordshire County Council, said, "We would urge drivers and motorcyclists in particular to be cautious and drive a little slower at this time of the year, especially on rural and semi-rural roads. We have taken steps to erect deer fences in locations which are known migration crossing points, especially on major new roads, but we are unable to protect every road. If you do hit a deer, please report the collision to the police on 101.
A former Metropolitan Police officer from Hemel Hempstead was sentenced to 16 years in prison on Tuesday, September 23rd. Jake Cummings, 26, was sentenced at St Albans Crown Court following an earlier trial in October 2024 when he was found guilty of three counts of coercive controlling behaviour, two counts of voyeurism, and three counts of stalking. At that trial, he was found not guilty of one count of voyeurism, and a decision was not made on two counts of rape. Following a subsequent retrial, for the two rape offences in July 2025, Cummings was found guilty of two counts of rape. Today he was sentenced to 16 years running concurrently. He was also given an extended sentence on licence for a further 2 years. He was given a sexual harm prevention order and barred from working with children. Sentencing Cummings, His Honour Judge Lieutenant Colonel Bilal Sadiq said, "Your relationships with all three women involved extensive coercive manipulating behaviour. You, Cummings, used your position as a police officer to control your victims. This was anything but impulsive behaviour. The totality of your offending demonstrates you don't take no for an answer from women. You were a serving police officer, your offending must have been abundantly obvious to you." In summing up, His Honour Sadiq also commended all three victims' courage to come to the trial and give evidence. He thanked Hertfordshire Constabulary and Victim Support Services. Victim impact statements, which were read out in court, demonstrated the pain and suffering that Cummings put his victims through. One victim said, "It has had a significant psychological toll on me. I struggle to go out alone, even now. I have to be on the phone to someone. I can't walk the dog on my own anymore. I lock the car doors when I'm driving." Another said, "He, Cummings, made me feel awful on a daily basis. I didn't have a say in my own life. We did everything he wanted to do. I didn't get a choice in what I did. I was told what to do constantly." A third victim said, "I don't feel like I could leave. I felt trapped. Every morning I would dread waking up. I felt helpless as I lost all autonomy and control over my life. He dictated everything for me." Detective Inspector Dale Mepstead from Bedfordshire, Cambridgeshire and Hertfordshire Major Crime Unit said, "I am pleased to see that Cummings, a domestic abuse predator, has been brought to justice. The impact that his offence has had on victims will live with them forever. I commend all three of them for their courageousness in coming forward and assisting us with our investigation." Investigating Officer Detective Constable Ellie Cowling from the Sexual Offences Investigation Team said, "This case has been difficult for the victims who have had to relive the despicable behaviour that Cummings subjected them to. They have shown incredible bravery throughout the trial. I hope that this investigation reassures anyone who is a victim of domestic or sexual abuse that specialist officers from Hertfordshire Constabulary will listen and support you."
Running through the heart of the village is a feeling of community, friendship and charity, and this is perhaps no better represented than through the work of the Kings Langley Good Neighbours Association, KLGNA. The group provides voluntary services such as transport to GP surgeries and hospitals, simple DIY, and a weekly lunch club for people who have needs caused by age, ill health, disability, or inadequate resources. Recently, the group partied in style at the Kings Langley Community Centre to celebrate KLGNA's 60th anniversary. Special guests included the association's first ever recruit, Mary Bamford, and the Mayor of Decorum, Councillor Catherine McAreevy. While celebrating the impact they have had, the association is also appealing for volunteers to secure its future. A spokesperson said, "If we want to celebrate our platinum anniversary or even our centenary, we are going to need some new, maybe recently retired, volunteers to continue the sterling work of our organisation. We will soon be needing more volunteer drivers, lunch club helpers and phone handlers to pick up the baton from those of us who will soon have to retire. For inquiries, contact 07790 668 672, and for the lunch club, contact 07527 907 128.
Decorum Borough Council's housing team is celebrating national recognition with three of its housing developments named as finalists in the Inside Housing Development Awards 2025. The shortlist highlights its ongoing commitment to delivering high-quality, affordable homes and creating thriving communities. The awards celebrate the UK's outstanding residential developments. Two of its developments are finalists in Best Affordable Housing Development, 10 million to 20 million category. St Margaret's Way in Leverstock Green, which includes its 500th council home, was completed in May. The development of 46 new homes for social rent includes a mix of one and two bedroom flats and two and three bedroom houses. Mountbatten View in Hemel Hempstead, which has given 58 homes to tenants at social rent, was completed in February. Earlier this year, it won the Gold Award for the best new housing development in the Hertfordshire Building Control Awards for 2025 and was named Residential Project of the Year in the Hearts and Beds Construction Excellence Awards. The Randalls Ride development, which marked the completion of the 400th council home, is finalist in the category of Best Affordable House Development, 5 million to 10 million. Natasha Beresford, the strategic director for Housing and Property Services, said, "We're incredibly proud to have been shortlisted in the National Housing Awards for three of our developments. It's a real testament to the hard work and dedication of our housing development team and our commitment to deliver high quality, sustainable homes that meet the needs of our residents." The winners will be announced on Tuesday, 25th November, at the Intercontinental O2 in London. The Inside Housing Development Awards celebrate the UK's most outstanding residential developments over the past year. They highlight schemes that deliver quality, sustainable housing and transform communities.
And now some sports news. Lee Ollinson wants to see Hemel Hempstead sharpen up in front of goal. Miller Matthews Lewis hit the only goal of the game as Town edged past Farnborough in the National League South at the weekend. But frustrated Ollinson felt it should have been a more comfortable affair for his side after seeing chances go begging. "We should have won by a lot more and we have to be more ruthless in front of goal," said the Town boss. "We could have put them to bed a lot sooner, and in the end we are defending and we didn't really need to be defending that hard. We had done enough to win the game comfortably without playing well. Those are the best types of games to win. It was another clean sheet, and I thought we defended brilliantly because they have a very good front three. They have had very few chances all game. Overall, we can be so much better and so much better on the ball, but the conditions were tough. I thought it was a very scrappy game, but we were deserved winners. I'm really pleased with the 3 points." Ollinson also dished out the praise to Matthew Lewis after getting the winner against his former club. "I'm delighted for him," added Ollinson. "The kid deserves it. It's been a long process trying to get him out of Farnborough. We had to pay a bit of money to do that. Money we were happy to pay because we know the quality he has. You have seen that today. He could have had a hat-trick today. He's a very good player. We need him to look after himself now because we are going to need him. The results have been good with him leading the line. Hopefully, we can do that again next week. The win saw Hemel move into the playoff places ahead of the FA Cup tie at the weekend against either Sporting Khalsa or Hereford in the third qualifying round.
Hemel Storm's BCB trophy hopes took a big hit as they fell to a double defeat in the first weekend of their competitive season. They were two close-fought affairs, losing out 87-89 to Bristol Hurricanes on Saturday and 84-83 in Birmingham on Sunday. But they're left to rue a pair of missed opportunities as their wastefulness proved costly. Saturday's matchup was tight throughout, with Storm holding onto a narrow lead for the majority of the contest. Yet a strong fourth quarter showing stole the win for the Hurricanes, and Sam Newman saw his three-point attempt on the buzzer fall short. He also missed a last-gasp game-winning effort on Sunday, but once more the game shouldn't have got that far, as Storm surrendered a lead as high as 15 to fail to another agonising loss. In truth, Storm were sloppy, expectedly at this early juncture in the season, and should have been more clinical in burying both games. 45 turnovers across the weekend won't make pretty reading for head coach Jake Rothage, and there's plenty to work on ahead of next weekend's home clash with Milton Keynes Breakers. Positive points to take away, of which there were plenty, came from American Matt Norman, who continued his impressive start to life at Storm, top scoring on both evenings with 25 and 28 respectively, and Kai Walker. Walker again hustled hard, adding energy and dynamism in showings of 15 and 17 points. Then attention turned to Birmingham. On Sunday, Norman and Walker again led from the front for Storm, but they were the only members of the team to register double digits, while six Rockets reached that mark. The wide array of options, all important for head coach Smith. Initially, it seemed Storm had learnt their lesson from the previous night, racing into an 18-23 five-point first quarter lead that was extended to the game high 15 midway through the second. The halftime score read 37-48, and from there, Storm really should have seen the game out. Instead, Lewis McGregor and the Rockets fired back, the British guard claiming seven straight points, and with the help of veterans Ronald Blaine, Orlan Jackman, and Martin Gale, the lead was trimmed to one at the final break, 68-69. It was back to eight with 4 minutes to play, but some wasteful offence and poor defence allowed the Rockets to score the last 9 points of the game. Eric Donaldson's three-point hit with 26 seconds on the clock, decisive. Newman was unable to return the favour with an off-balance effort in a chaotic final possession, and the buzzer brought to an end a difficult couple of days for Storm. They'll go away, lick their wounds, and hope to come back better next week with a tantalising local derby against MK Breakers in store. The top two in the group qualify for the quarterfinals, so Storm still harbour slender hopes of progressing. A reminder for those interested in sports news, on Saturday afternoon, Three Counties Radio broadcast on FM 103.8, Heart Radio are on FM 97.6, and TalkSport are on medium wave 1089.
We are coming to the end of this week's news. Sunrise and sunset times for this weekend are 06:57 and 18:47. Don't forget, for those with access to the internet, our news is uploaded to our website soon after the recording each week on Thursday evening. This can be found by visiting dtnhemel.org.uk. For those who are listening to this week's news on Memory Stick, the amenities and services information follows after the final music. Please remove the Memory Stick from the player, return it to us in the pouch provided, and check the pouch is securely sealed. Turn the label over and post it back to us using any Royal Mail postbox. Finally, we would like to thank our sponsors, RL Supplies. They have over 30 years' experience in the repairs of PCs, laptops, tablets, and many models of phones. Telephone 01923 896 996. The website is rlsupplies.co.uk. Until next time, it's goodbye from all your readers, the editor, and Joe, who was your technician this week. Goodbye.